Amen. I want to thank everyone that had a part in this service so far. I appreciate the help. It's been a fitting reminder and inspiration to us today as we celebrate. Thank all those that have decorated both Sanctuary and Vaughn Hall and prepared the food, and we're going to have a good time the remainder of the day. We're at this place where we're going to share from the Word, and that's the way we Christians are. Whatever the occasion, we want to have a word from the Lord, don't we? We want to hear from heaven. And once again, it's good to have everybody. I know we got Jared and Katie from and their family from, I'm stumbling, St. Louis, somewhere around there. Yeah, good to have you. Good to have everybody in our service this morning. If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read but one verse this morning. And I want to share a challenge to you. I can't rightly say this is a sermon, a message of that sort, but I do want to share a challenge that I believe with God's help it'll cover both our spiritual freedom and our national freedom, where we are as Christians and where we are as citizens of these United States. And I pray it'll be a word of the Lord to our hearts. Could you stand? You've been sitting a while. We're going to read this word. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Paul said, expressing both how he felt and his attitude and motive, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I want to pay particular attention to his describing himself this way. He said, I am a debtor. And he's not talking about finances. I am a debtor. I want to challenge us this morning with this thought: indebted. We are indebted. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you pray for me and with me this morning? Father, we thank you for everything that's happened so far. Lord, the celebration of national and spiritual freedom. Now, Lord, shut up our hearts to hear eternal truth. May there be a sense of eternity in this place. Lord, you know that you're moving us on towards heaven. You're moving us on to our final destination. And God, we stand reminded we're the citizens of two countries, citizens of America. But Lord, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, God, for your spirit amongst us. Be involved in this challenge. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Paul said, I am a debtor. I want you to think about that. Paul literally saw himself as a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, but not because what the Greeks had done for him and not because of what the barbarians had done for him. Paul saw himself a debtor because of what Christ had done for him. You know, he's saved. He's got salvation. He's been set free. He's been given grace and mercy and eternal life. And that gave Paul a sense of responsibility and indebtedness to see others receive what he had received. He wanted them to be free too. And so he said, since Christ has set me free, I am indebted to see that others have this freedom as well. Amen. You know, Paul, he look at this. After all the churches he started, after being whipped, after being shipwrecked, after suffering all the things he suffered, after writing the biggest portion of the New Testament, after all that, Paul still has this attitude, I am a debtor. Think about that. All the accomplishment, all that he had done for the church of God, all that he'd done for Christendom, and yet he's still saying, I am a debtor. I want you to contrast what I've just shared with you of Paul's sense of indebtedness. I want you to contrast that with the sense of entitlement, the entitlement that prevails in both our nation and in the church world. Think about that. Take Paul's attitude, I am a debtor, and contrast that with a sense of entitlement in church and nation. There's a sense of entitlement in our land and in the church because there's no sense of indebtedness. We have people with this attitude in our nation. You should accommodate my preferences. Instead of saying simply, I'm thankful to be an American, they're saying, you've got to accommodate me in any peculiar preference that I may have. We have in the church, we have those that say, you should realize I do the church a favor by showing up and attending. Amen. That ought not to be the attitude. The attitude ought to be, I'm so thankful I've got a church to go to. So thankful for those that began it years ago and built it and paid the expenses. Amen. We ought to have a sense of indebtedness. Listen to me, and here's the challenge. A sense of entitlement, Brother Rose, always comes with the mantra, I have rights. I have rights. Think about my rights. That's the sense of entitlement. But a sense of indebtedness evidences itself with an awareness of I have responsibilities. Entitlement, I have rights. Indebtedness, I have responsibilities. Amen. On January 13th, I want you to note the year 1947. A great man of God, many of you heard about, Peter Marshall, was chaplain of the United States Senate. And listen to what he said. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this is over 60 years ago. 1947, listen to what he says to America. Here's what he's saying to America. And I want you to realize these words are for us today. Peter Marshall said, the choice before us is plain. Christ or chaos? Conviction or compromise? Discipline or disintegration? And then he put his finger in that speech on what's going to decide in those things. Listen to what he said, Peter Marshall, United States Senate chaplain. He said, I'm rather tired about hearing about our rights. I'm rather tired of hearing about our rights. The time has come to hear about our responsibilities. Amen. I'm tired of hearing about rights. I want to hear about responsibilities. I want to ask the question this morning. What makes people choose responsibility over rights? It's as simple. If a person feels indebted, they talk about responsibility. If a person feels entitled, they talk about rights. Where are we as a people? When a person begins to talk about his rights, he shows it clear. He has a sense of entitlement. But if that same person talks about his responsibilities, he makes it clear. He feels indebted. You know, there's a thing I hear not only in our nation, in politics. I hear it in the church. I hear this statement, I have a right to be happy. Have you heard that? I heard folks do that, you know, making decisions that are collaterally hurtful to so many, and they'll look you in the face and say, I have a right to be happy. I want to tell you, if that's your attitude, you have a sense of entitlement. Amen. It's not about rights. It's about responsibility. I've been throwing these words around. Let's define them. Indebtedness. Indebtedness is an awareness that one owes gratitude and acknowledgement to someone other than himself. When I feel indebted, I realize that who I am, where I am, where I'm at, what I have, I owe it to someone else. That's indebtedness. What is entitlement? It's the feeling or belief that one deserves to be given something. Look, we're sitting here, and I know you're in rapt attention. It's not boredom. I know that. But is that not where we're at in America? In a whole nation that is growingly having a sense of entitlement, feeling or believing that we deserve to be given something. Amen. It ought not to ever be that way in the church. It ought not to ever be that way in the democracy of the free. Amen. We're living a time when everybody has a right. I mean, it's almost too ludicrous and awful to mention, but I mean, it's given media time when somebody in prison says, I have a right to a gender change. and it's given credence. And lawyers go in motion, and it's taken in court. I have a right. I have a right. It's in the church world. This week, this past few weeks, even in the church has said by the demands of others that folks have a right to marriage, even if it's between two of the same gender. And they'll say they have a right to that, even when the Bible says that relationship is condemned. That same spirit of entitlement's in the church. We have a right to that. You're asking yourself, perhaps, how does that fit into our celebration of freedom, national and spiritual? And I'll just answer it simple first and maybe a little more involved. What does this have to do with celebrating our freedoms? It's because once we get a spirit of entitlement, we will lose our freedom. We'll lose our spiritual freedom in our nation. But oh, if we can keep a spirit of indebtedness, we'll keep our national freedom. And we'll keep our spiritual. Oh, you show me a person, amen, maybe serving the Lord 30 years, but they're still able to sing, "Thank God I'm free, free," and they have a sense of indebtedness. You're looking at somebody that's going to hold on to their freedom in Christ. But you show me someone that begins to have a sense of entitlement in church and about the thing, and you're seeing someone who will soon lose their spiritual liberties. That's what it has to do. Our freedoms, both spiritual and national, came at a great, great, great sacrifice from those who procured it. We've already enunciated that in the service, but I want you to think about that. Our founding fathers, they lost houses. Young people helped us with this. They lost houses. They lost property. They lost children. They lost money. They lived under the constant threat if they were caught of being executed by the British government. They made a sacrifice. Jesus made a sacrifice. You've heard it so often. You ought to have an attitude we ought to have. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me again. How many knows that Jesus paid a great price, suffering on the cross, that we could be set free? I mean, it was a horrible death. And it's when people lose an awareness of the cost of freedoms that they become demanding and critical instead of grateful and complimenting. They develop a sense of entitlement and begin to talk about rights, their rights, instead of their responsibility. Amen. Oh, God, help us once again, amen, in celebration of freedom, to have a sense that says, "I am a debtor." Not "I have rights, I deserve," but "I am." I'm telling you, that'll fuel a worship service in a hurry when folks stand and lift their hearts and say, "I am a debtor for all that Jesus has done, all the price that he's paid." In reference to our country, John F. Kennedy said those memorial words. He said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That'll work in the church too. Amen. Instead of "the church should treat me thus and thus, and the church should do this for me," it ought to be, "How can I help? What can I do? How can I be a blessing? How can I be a servant?" Amen. And so today we celebrate our spiritual and national freedoms. But I want to challenge us, will we choose to celebrate with a sense of entitlement or a sense of indebtedness? How many knows I'm telling you the truth about this entitlement spirit? Let me give you a quick summary of what I've heard. I have the right to a cell phone. Everybody has the right to a cell phone. So everybody gets a cell phone. I have a right to a $20 an hour job. I wish everybody made lots of money. That's not the point. It's I have a right to a 20-hour job. I have a right to be catered to whatever my personal sexual preference. Entitlement. Entitlement. In the church, I have a right to take and take and take from the people of God and never give back. I have a right to have my kind of music played. I have a right to demand that beliefs be changed to accommodate me and my own personal opinions. I have a right to my personal opinions, even if they go against the centuries of the teaching of godly people. I have a right to my way, even over the unity of the body of Christ. And again, this entitlement talk about rights is an avoidance of responsibilities, because there's no sense of indebtedness. Oh, it ought to be this way. God has given us His Son. Aren't you glad for that? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It's why Paul said, I am a debtor. Oh, the Father gave His Son. Yet when some people don't get from God what they feel like they're entitled to from God, they walk away from serving God, ungrateful of the figure hanging on the cross. The church, listen to me, the church, the people of God, have helped and given and loved and supported certain individuals, only to have those individuals begin to speak badly of the people of God. The church begin to criticize, make unfounded claims, walk away trashing the very people that sacrificed to help them. Oh, God, give us a spirit of indebtedness. It would stop the mouth of criticism and complaint and give a spirit of rejoicing and gratitude. So freedom with no sense of gratitude is all about entitlement. I demand my rights. But freedom with a sense of gratitude is all about indebtedness. I have my responsibilities. I want to briefly go back to Paul. Paul had been set free. And he believed in spiritual religious freedom and liberty. He was grateful for that. But it was because of freedom that he felt indebted to Christ. And it caused him to say, I will serve Him with all of my life, all of my being, all of my heart. Let me tell you what Paul's spirit of indebtedness says. It says, I have a responsibility to live for Him. You know, people act like God should try to bribe them into serving Him. You know, God, if you do this and this for me, I'll serve you. No, sir. We ought to have a sense that says, I have a responsibility to live for Him. I have a responsibility to love others as He has loved me. Indebtedness. I have a responsibility to accept others as He's accepted me. I have the responsibility to help others as He's helped me. I want you to think again about Paul. He didn't say, I'm a child of the King. I have rights. I demanded to be treated in such and such a way. I demand to receive. Paul never said that. He was a child of the King. I mean, churches are taught that way. They're taught, you know, you come up to the front, you look at God and you say, I'm a child of the King. And Father, this is what I want you to do for me. I mean, Paul didn't say, I'm a child of the King. You know what he said? He began his epistles this way. He said, I'm a love slave to Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm a love slave. Oh, God, that's the challenge today. Even to have such a spirit of indebtedness. Yes, we're children of the King. But underlying it all is an attitude and a spirit that says, I am a love slave of Jesus Christ. I have a responsibility to pay my part. Expect nobody to pay it for me. I have responsibility to put the good of the country above my personal wants and preferences. Young people, Wednesday night a week ago, when you guys were testifying about youth camp, you know, I was really thankful what I heard. Several of you expressed gratitude that your way was paid to youth camp. I really appreciated that. And, you know, I've always thought about this, about offerings, since I started preaching. I mean, I started preaching. It's kind of awkward to receive offerings, you know. And I was a single preacher, and I go and preach, and afterwards I'd go out and buy me a couple of Big Macs, fries, and I'd start biting into the, and a thought would hit me. Some little widow lady on a Social Security check, barely enough to pay the beers. She don't drink beer. That's what was wrong with it. Barely enough money to pay the bills. She put in $5 and I spent it on a Big Mac. And I just want you to consider, so ladies on Social Security that did not buy beer, they did put in offerings so you could go to youth camps. But see, there comes a time it starts clicking. And I think it's happening. That's why I'm using it as an illustration. You think, look at all the youth camps that folks have paid for me to attend to. At some point, there's a sense of indebtedness that comes in. You know, I've marveled at that. I've marveled at that. I've seen young people raised in this church had a free ride to ever ministry, ever youth camp, ever youth conference. And they get old enough to express an opinion, and suddenly they find something wrong with everybody and everything of the people of God. You can wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian and I'm spiritual and everything. I don't believe a word of it. Because if you really got the goods, you'll have a sense of indebtedness. Says, I am so, I may not like that song, I may not like that person, but I am so grateful. You see, what the church does is God doing it. So there's an ungratefulness to the people of God. There's an ungratefulness to God. This is His church, His people. And so sometimes there comes this attitude of indebtedness that it's my turn to give. That's why I love it when some of our young people get old enough to get a job and they make a stand and the boss says, well, you'll have to work every Wednesday night and Sunday. And they make a stand and say, no, if that's so, I won't take this job. I'm a believer. I need my worship. And you know what they'll start doing? They'll start paying a tithe. That's thrilling. Not because there's more money in the offering, because they get it. They get it. They're really a Christian. Because if you're really a Christian, you'll have a spirit that says, I am a debtor. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Freedom does not come with entitlements. It comes with obligations. I don't know if you've ever heard this. You do something to help somebody, you try to pay him, and they'll look at you like you came from Mars and say, you put that money up. After all you've done for me, and you're going to try to give me money for doing it? Don't you love it when people have that attitude? Are you kidding me? After all you've done? I'm telling you, that's the way it ought to be with God constantly. How many could just do that right now? I'm getting close to finish, but could you just lift up a hand and say, God, after all you've done for me, it's so little to serve you. It's so little to say no to this world and yes to your ways. Hallelujah. After all you've done for me, a sense of indebtedness. Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're debtors to live after God. We're free to choose. Thank God for freedom. But if you're really thankful for the freedom to choose, you choose responsibility. You know what indebtedness will do? It'll change everything about you. If you've got a sense of indebtedness and you're focusing on responsibility, you will develop an attitude, I can do. I can do this. I can help here. But if you have a spirit of entitlement, you'll develop an attitude and a motive that says, let somebody do it for me. Right? I am a debtor to Christ. And so today, both in our church and nation, celebrating our freedom, we can either be moved to an entitlement attitude or an indebted attitude. I want to make that move. If there's any entitlement spirit in my heart, I want to move from that, Brother Oki, to an indebted attitude. How many wants to move from I deserve to I am so grateful? Do you want to move from I don't like this and I don't like that and this don't please me to I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that? How many wants to move from criticism to rejoicing? Oh, hallelujah. I've often said when folks in a church get their eyes off Christ, they'll begin to criticize and splinter over any and everything. But when folks have their eyes on Christ, nothing splinters. Nothing drives a wedge. Why? Because when you have your eyes on Christ, criticism goes away because you say, I'm a debtor. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. Amen. Whether national freedom or spiritual freedom, if one really has a sense of indebtedness, listen to me, about done, it's important. But if you have a spirit of indebtedness, you'll choose commitment over convenience. You'll choose principle over preference. You'll choose gratitude over griping. You'll choose giving over getting. And you'll choose responsibility over rights. How many believe the children of Israel were really had a sense of indebtedness and were really grateful for being set free from Egypt's bondage? They wouldn't have got to griping in the wilderness. Right? Oh, I want a spirit of indebtedness. When we reflect today on both our spiritual and national freedoms, may we pray, God, forever remove me from a spirit of entitlement and give me a spirit of indebtedness. I'm through. I've preached this challenge or shared it with you, but I want to ask, is that not the trouble with our nation? What we've delineated, is that not the trouble with our nation? Is it not the trouble of so many in the church? I have a right, I deserve, rather than I'm so grateful, I have a responsibility. I am indebted. Oh, I feel indebted to God today, don't you? Hadn't he been good? Wasn't his mercies new this morning? Isn't that enough just to get really happy about? His mercies were new this morning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? It's not how I can be served. It's how can I serve? You've probably heard this before, especially you that have an interest in missionaries. But C.T. Studd, he was in university to be a lawyer, which he became. But he was a famous cricket. I know nothing about that. Funny shaped bat or whatever. I don't even know. But he was a famous cricket player in England when he heard the call to missions. He followed Hudson Taylor to China in the late 1800s and spent 21 years ministering in India and China at great sacrifice, at great expense. Great expense. He came back to England at the age of 53 years old. Broken in health, his wife broken in health, poor. I failed to mention not only was a famous cricket player, but he gave up the family fortune. It's another story, but he gave up the family fortune to be a missionary. Came back to England, 53 years old, and felt a call to go to Africa. 53. Already spent all those years in China. Go to Africa. His wife is an invalid. She can't go. He said, I'm going. He went at that age, began to share the gospel. And when he passed, they found a little postcard on his desk in his study, displayed there, where he had made this statement. You've heard this statement, I'm sure. He said, if Jesus Christ be God, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Think about that. Not to be redundant, but let me say that again. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. You know what he just said? I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Oh, what an attitude. I know that's freedom service. But from the very first of preparation to the end, I could not get this old chorus out of my head and heart. I want us to stand, and I want us, as we sing this, just let me further the challenge. As we sing this, can you really say in your heart, this expresses the way I feel? I'm indebted. Let's sing it. We have the words there, yes.
Because I love thee.
I was nothing.
I was nothing.
Before you found me, Lord.
Before you found me.
Oh, you have given life to me.
You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces.
You ever felt that's all you had to give the Lord was broken pieces? Here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and stand if one or two things fit you this morning. I'm not being critical of anyone. I know all of us, myself included, get in this place that entitlement spirit. Nobody's going to treat me that way. Nobody's going to talk to me that way. I deserve it. Gets a hold of all of us. But I want you to come and stand and lift your heart and sing this morning if one or two things are true. Number one, this is a great thing. If you're here this morning and you really feel that sense of indebtedness, I was nothing before you found me, and you just feel so grateful to the Lord for all that he's done for you, you just want to come and say thank you. You want to say, Lord, how can I serve you? The other is this, and I know how it gets in the human experience. You'd say, you know, I haven't had that attitude lately. I haven't even felt that way lately. I've had more of an entitlement attitude. Entitlement spirit. But I'm coming this morning because Christ gave everything for me. And I want to be able to stand this morning and say sincerely and truthfully, I am a debtor to Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Nathan, would you and Brother Ryan get this and move it up here out of the way? Would you do that? All right. Would you come? Any one of those two things. You do feel I am a debtor, or you want to feel that way before you leave the house of God. Would you come and stand and lift your hands and say, oh God, I owe everything to you. Amen. I owe everything to you. I owe everything to you. Could you just lift your heart and sing these words or pray, whatever you feel compelled to do, sing the words or pray. But say, I want a spirit of indebtedness, both for country, church. Moving as close as you can. Thank you. Just lift your heart and hand. Say, Lord, hallelujah.
I was nothing.
Oh, before you found me.
Before you found me.
Go ahead and say the words. I'm a debtor.
You have given.
I'm in debt to his love. I'm in debt to his mercy. I'm in debt to his grace. I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of the least of his mercies. I'm not worthy. Thank you, Lord.
Broken pieces.
I didn't deserve preferential treatment. I got grace. Oh, let's praise him, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm a debtor. I'm a love slave.
Your touch.
I'm glad to be a child of God.
Is what
I'm a love slave to Jesus. I say yes.
You have given life.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Go ahead and say it out loud. I'm a debtor.
Broken
say it to God, I'm a debtor.
Pieces,
I'm a
debtor. Ruined lives.
Hallelujah.
Are why.
Hallelujah.
You died on.
If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ. I want to tell you, he died for you. He suffered for you. He did it all for you. You can be saved this morning. Give him your heart and life. You'll discover
you
what it is to say, I'm a debtor.
Given life
oh,
to
hallelujah.
Me.
I want to hear you sing this. Go ahead, Brother Brad, while you're up here. Let's sing it.
I will serve thee.
Oh, that sounds good. Sing it to him.
Because I love thee.
He's listening.
You have given life to me.
Oh, sing it, church. Sing it, church.
I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me.
Oh, hallelujah. Heartaches, broken pieces.
Heartache.
Let me tell you, if you're really grateful, if you really feel like a debtor, you're always looking for somebody else that God wants to put their life together. Somebody else to say to them, He'll accept you, He'll help you, He'll change your life.
Died on Calvary, your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me.
Continue to praise and worship Him. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You've said it to the Lord, and I believe you feel that in your hearts this morning. So here in a moment, I'm going to have us greet one another. And I want you to take that spirit that you feel towards the Lord, and I want you to say to a brother or a sister, I want you to say to them, I'm indebted to you. And just share something with them that they've done that's encouraged you, helped you, strengthened you. Could you do that? Amen. Before we do, let's lift our hearts one more time and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what an attitude difference. I'm not worthy the least of His mercies. I don't deserve preferential treatment. Oh, but He's given me the best of His mercies. He's given me the best of His love, the best of His grace. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to say it to everyone. I know our minds have to come up with these things and think about them, but take it as an opportunity when we greet one another. You may want to say to somebody, you know, I'm really a debtor to you. You've been such a blessing. You've helped me. You've done this. Would you do that? Would you greet one another this morning? Amen. Amen. Just greet one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.